Also to mention on that, that we do have public comment scheduled for 4 p.m. So if you are a member of the community, we would love to hear from you at that time. And to get started, I will go ahead and do a roll call. I believe we have plenty to make a quorum here. So if you can please unmute yourself and indicate that you are present. I'll start with Ashley Miller.
Here, present.
Thank you, Ashley. Rachel Nessie.
Present.
Thank you, Rachel. Hi. Lauren Wade.
Here.
Thank you, Lauren. Taylor Smiley Wolf.
Present.
Thank you, Taylor. Ada Jimenez. Don't hear Ada. Okay, Alan Lazo.
Good afternoon, all. I'm here.
Hi, Alan. Barbara Geyer.
I'm here.
Hi, Barbara. Becky Strauss.
Present.
Hi, Becky. Young Ho.
Present.
Okay, Ellen Toland. I don't see Ellen in the chat. Next would be Jay Rutherford Tye. Okay. Mara Romero.
Present.
Hi, Mara. Marisa Espinoza.
Hi, everyone. I'm present.
Hi, Marisa. Vera Warren. Vera, I do not see her. And finally, we have May Cha.
Present.
Hi, May. And as always, as I'm learning everyone's names, do feel free to correct me if I mispronounce your name whatsoever. Do not be shy about it.
Hi, this is Holly Stevens. You didn't call me in the role, so I just wanted to.
Oh,
I'm here.
Oh, thank you, Holly. Sorry about that. My apologies. I think we have a few lists where we need to make sure that everything was cross-referenced when you came on, Holly. So thank you. With that, I will call the meeting to order. Thank you. So to get started for our first agenda item, I just wanted to do some housekeeping and a few different updates. I did send out an email last week when City Council held the Fair Housing Proclamation declaring April Fair Housing Month in Portland. You guys could have logged on and watched it live or have it in the background. That link also retains the recording. So if you weren't able to watch it, feel free to go back. I think it went really well. We had some opening points from Commissioner Ryan, some words provided by our Bureau Director, Shannon Callahan. And then Alan Lazo, who is on the committee, spoke on behalf of the Fair Housing Council of Oregon and also presented the poster winners from their Fair Housing poster contest. I believe the theme was it's nice to have all kinds of neighbors and lots of really great posters. The grand prize winner did an excellent job. It's beautiful, little anime inspired. So it's very fun. I encourage everyone to go look at it. The commissioners seemed, you know, very energetic. Lots of folks had comments to make, and then the mayor made the proclamation. So that went really well. And if you need help locating that link or finding the recording of that city council session, let me know. It's in the beginning as it was scheduled for a 9:30 timeframe or 9:45 timeframe. The next item was federal guidance. I'm just kind of holding this in case we do get anything or any word about federal guidance for an analysis of impediments to fair housing. Nothing has come in, so we are in the same boat in that we are expecting guidance, but no details have been provided at this time. Also, required trainings. I know we sent out an email. There seems to be a little bit of confusion with what the program has recorded on who has completed the required trainings and submitted some COI forms. So apologies if you have completed the trainings. We're going to get that all sorted out and make sure that it's recorded appropriately. That said, if you haven't done any of those required trainings, please make sure to complete those as soon as possible.
Nikki?
Sorry, yeah. Holly Stevens here again. I have not completed the trainings. I apologize, Ryan. You emailed me and I will get those done. Should we take like a screenshot of the page that shows that we're done, or like, is there something we should do just to prove that we completed it? If there's an issue with you guys showing that it's complete, would it be helpful?
I mean, if you could grab a screenshot just so we could sort things out, that said, I mean, if you know, no pressure if that doesn't happen. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. And then lastly, just an update that we will be sending out the next meeting. It will be scheduled for July 13th from 3 to 5 p.m. If you would like to put a hold on your calendar, otherwise Brian will be sending that out shortly. Okay. So moving on to the next item that we have, I sent out the recommendation table for you all to look at and review. And that came from our last meeting where we wanted to know, based on those 2011 recommendations, what had been done, if there were still items to do. It's a pretty extensive list. And so I didn't get too bogged down into the details. And it was from 2011. So quite a few of those items do have follow-up from the recommendation. And I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here so that we can review that. And there was a link to the full 2011 analysis of impediments as well. Okay. So here was the table, the recommendation table, and here's the link and then the site numbers to where that all list of recommendations was made. And then we just provided brief notes on actions that we are aware of that has been taken. There were some challenges just in terms of this report was done in 2011 and some of those staff are no longer with the Bureau, but we were able to pull together quite a few of general status reports on each item. So at this time, I'm gonna kind of just scroll through this. I'm not gonna go, you know, line by line, but more kind of in the sections of A, B, C, and D. I have some highlights of some things that were either vague or were unsure of exactly what the recommendation status was, so that we can decide what to do with those. And then we can open up for questions about any of the notes that are made here and discuss a little bit about what we want to do with any of these recommendations that haven't been moved forward. So starting with that first section, discrimination in housing, this one, quite a few of these items have resulted in various things, including the contracts with the Fair Housing Council of Oregon regarding education and audit testing, the creation of a collaborative with Urban League, El Programa, Legal Aid Services, and Fair Housing to identify potential fair housing issues and to provide culturally specific support and connecting them to enforcement mechanisms. We also have a few links in here to ordinances and policies that have addressed the recommendations. I also provided some links to some offices and to some program pages as they related to the recommendation. So I think we had most of the items within section A. B, for fair housing understanding, we had creation of the Fair Housing Advocacy Committee. Obviously here we all are today to meet on a quarterly basis to focus on these fair housing issues. That committee was created and now it has been reconstituted, which is the committee as it stands today. There's also some notes regarding committing resources to campaigns for public information, A lot of that is handled through contracts with community partners to provide fair housing services and fair housing education, both to case managers, the public, and housing providers. I think the item here that kind of stuck out as not having kind of a clear recommendation status connected to it was item six, fund education services for workers in assisted living and nursing facilities to better understand the varying needs of the aging population. I'm gonna go ahead and add that highlight on there, but that may be an item to look into. Moving into C, areas of reduced access to opportunity. The recommendation to develop opportunity mapping, and there was quite a bit about partnering and leveraging that opportunity mapping. There was a link provided that was completed and some information about how it informs where affordable housing development is financed, targeted within partner organizations and jurisdictions. We do have a highlight here regarding where housing is already affordable and accessible, focus on creating quality jobs and linking residents to quality jobs through education and other supports. So as this one was a little more vague in using local political leadership to support national efforts, that's item seven, the national efforts to change loan modification process, which will help homeowners prevent foreclosure. I didn't have a direct item to tie there. Moving into D, we have recommendations related to data. We have the audit testing as well as the state of housing and federal data reports that we can draw from here, as well as the Fair Housing Collaborative. So that was relevant to pretty much all of those recommendations. In E, accessible, affordable housing stock. So this was a lot about creating data around accessible units, as well as just increasing overall availability of affordable units of family size and units that were accessible. One thing I couldn't quite connect, and we can follow up on this, was item four, developing strong building guidelines to ensure consistent standards of what features an accessible unit includes. Item eight, require annual training for staff and partners. And item 10, working with housing providers to provide 2 weeks notice to advocacy groups about availabilities. Didn't have a quite connection there, but we can see there are quite a few other items within the accessibility and affordable housing stock grouping that were addressed. F, unintended gentrification through policies. They were kind of, you know, general public investments, working with community agreements. So we do have kind of various initiatives that we felt like could be connected to this, and we can dig deeper if you would like us to. There was kind of a more concrete item number two, talking about encouraging the renewal of Portland's 30% tax increment funding, and that was increased to 45%. Item four was to fund a representative advisory group such as the proposed Fair Housing Housing Authority. The Housing Choice Section 8 participants have. You know, we can dig deeper into that. It seemed a bit pointed, but I wasn't able to tie it to a specific action. Not to say that there hasn't been work done in that area. Other items, including funding home ownership programs, that, you know, those programs continue to exist through our NHP team here at the Bureau, involving community members and redevelopment. There are some programs that definitely seek to address that recommendation. And then moving to G, low income and vulnerable populations. Again, kind of just a lot of various programs within the joint office, the development of the joint office in this time frame between, again, 10 years back, 2011, when these recommendations were made. There are some items, 5, 8, 9, and 10, that we could evaluate further, including a new household income measurement regarding a total cost burden and retaliation laws as it relates to folks with illegal notices. So I hope everybody had a chance to review this. Like I said, I didn't want to take a lot of time to, you know, go item by item, because you can see we have quite a few pages of 8 pages of recommendations here. So with that said, I wanted to first open up and ask if there are any questions about a specific item. And then after that, we can talk about what to do with this table and how it can inform the work moving forward. So does anyone have any questions?
Hi, Nikki. Holly Stevens here again. If we have a recommendation, do you want us to shoot you an email? Maybe something we can look into that would help with one of these outstanding items?
To clarify, Holly, do you mean a recommendation from the 2011 analysis that you feel has been addressed? Or are you asking for future recommendations for the new analysis or report that this body creates?
Yeah, one of the ones that was highlighted was around education for workers in assisted living to understand the needs of aging populations. And so that was something that we didn't have, I guess, a way moving forward for, if I understood that correctly. So if we have a recommendation on maybe a partnership we could make with an organization, should we email you that, or Are we not looking for more recommendations here? We're moving forward.
I think we should hold that, right? And then in the second part of this conversation, we're talking about what to do with these recommendations. I think, you know, part of that is do we pick these up, right? Do we just kind of, do we want to dig deeper, or do we want to note this and keep it in mind as we move forward for a new set of recommendations? Gotcha. And at that point, right, then maybe those recommendations need to be a little more direct, and you know, specific partnership opportunities or something of that nature might be appropriate.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
No problem. Does anyone have any general thoughts or a temperature check that I could get? I mean, I'm not sure, you know, if everybody had a chance to review. You know, is this something that we need more time before we can discuss, or, you know, overall thoughts on the performance of these recommendations?
This is, I see someone else has their hand up. I apologize. This is Mara from ILR. I have a comment whenever it's my turn.
I actually don't see a hand. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. I thought Ryan had their hand up. So basically for this phase, at least, and again, my name is Mara. I'm from Independent Living Resources. Really, I just had a question about what exactly the Fair Housing, what was it called? The Fair Housing Collaborative, whether that's something that's actually been created. It was just mentioned a few times in the recommendations. And then most of my comments are like, you know, actually getting to the meat of it and really digging into this. But yeah, I guess mostly I'm just wondering, or I guess want to just comment that thank you for putting this together. It was helpful in sort of understanding what the recommendations were and what has been attempted to try to meet that need or that gap. So that was very helpful. But yeah, I don't know if that's something that actually exists, the Fair Housing Collaborative.
All right, I'm gonna go off video for a second, folks, because I seem to have some instability in my internet connection. So apologies. I'll try to jump back on video in a moment. But Mara, yes, there is a group of folks that do work together, and you know that work is supported by the Bureau and held within the Rental Services Office, in where they help community members identify potential fair housing issues and provide culturally specific support to connect them with agencies like the Fair Housing Council of Oregon and Legal Aid. And they have monthly regular meetings to discuss issues that they're seeing. And they also work on education as well. Matt, did you have anything you wanted to add about the collaborative? Yeah. So as you know, a formal entity to look up, no, but that is how we kind of reference that group that is actively working together and making those internal referrals to connect community members from the services of one organization to another.
Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if nobody else has any clarifying questions, I think the next step is to try and determine what we'd like to do with this information. Do we want to spend some time, for example, digging in and seeing if spots where we weren't able to make a policy, direct policy connection, if you would like me to look further into those, if there's an area of particular interest that you would like more information on? Or do we just kind of want to make note of what these recommendations are and keep them in mind moving forward as we work on a new analysis?
Nikki, would it be okay, and just an offer to the group, if we discussed for a minute, if we went into a discussion around not just the recommendations, but what maybe new ideas folks have as well? Is that the time for the right time, or should we wait?
Yeah, I mean, you guys can steer this meeting and how you want to react to the recommendations. I did, kind of put some time to after public comment to kind of talk about the plan development. But if this is inspiring, I can certainly take some notes of some recommendations and we can, have those on file too.
Yeah, I just wanted to offer one around the opportunity mapping that the Portland Housing Bureau did, and then Home Forward, my name is Taylor, I work for Home Forward. We were trying to do some mapping of where voucher holders currently live according to the opportunity maps. And one of the things that we know is that there are barriers to folks with a voucher accessing oftentimes like higher opportunity neighborhoods. And there are a number of reasons for that. It could be choice or landlord-based barriers. And so one of the recommendations I wanted to throw out there was supports for reducing barriers for voucher holders and accessing whatever neighborhood that they would like to live in, hoping that that also impacts like reducing barriers to high opportunity neighborhoods. And then I don't know how much this group can advocate federally, but talking about increasing the per voucher funding so that we can increase our payment standards. So we're always kind of in this push and pull of like, do we serve more people or do we serve people more deeply by increasing payment standards and giving folks more flexibility about where they can live? So I just want to throw those two recommendations out there, something to discuss with the group so that we can remove barriers to folks who have a voucher.
Great, thank you, Taylor.
This is Mara from Independent Living Resources, and I was I just had a few comments on the issues that are really relevant to folks with significant disabilities, since probably some of those recommendations came from my predecessor who was on this committee a while back. And there are issues that we still continue to see in our community. I'm sure folks on this call feel that same way about a lot of the things that they heard. Even if there is something in the recommendation section, it's not necessarily actually meeting that need. And so a couple times it came up in here around like helping folks with accessibility needs locate affordable housing. Right now, there's very limited resources for folks to really understand even what that word means in housing, the difference between a unit that's just for a disabled person versus a unit that's been specifically made accessible. These sorts of bits of education and information just really are not available out there for people. So while there have been really good steps in terms of setting a requirement for folks to housing providers to mark whether or not a unit is accessible and other such things, we're still, I think, having pretty large gaps as it relates to other kinds of accessibility, like for our deaf and visually disabled community, and all sorts of different complexities. It would be nice to see more requirements. Airbnb just recently added 19 different accessibility filters to their housing, to their, you know, unit search, including like roll-in showers and all sorts of really interesting things, which are probably going to increase sales too. So looking at that, I think, is still a need, and having some kind of database potentially for accessible units that could be heavily sort of a part of the housing provider's responsibility in terms of how they list these units and what they, you know, how they respond to requests for clarification. And then also the issue around supportive housing, and really getting an understanding for what that means and what we're doing, and how it's being funded through either behavioral health or other supportive services. Honestly, I think a lot of folks, you know, just are pretty confused about how to get a hold of that kind of support. And I think also we need more of it, and especially in our new affordable housing developments that we're working on. And then, yeah, I've been helping numerous folks avoid foreclosure during the pandemic. And just anecdotally, I've noticed that the process for trying to help save someone's home is very inaccessible to people with significant disabilities. And they are much more likely to lose their home just because they can't manage the amount of paperwork and communication involved in that process. So yeah, again, my overall comment is mostly just a lot of the things that are mentioned here as it relates to disability and accessibility, they still are significant issues that we're seeing in the community, even if there have been some solutions presented. Thanks.
Thank you. Alan, I can see that you have your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Nikki. I think my kind of overall comments are sort of the same as I think what Mara is saying. This is Alan Lazo from the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. And I'm wondering, just process-wise, as far as this kind of set of recommendations go on this table, if I don't think we should need to go through them one by one, but certainly there are a number of them that are still relevant. And so if we were like to add a column that said, you know, keep this one in or make this revision to it or a couple columns in that table, that would kind of guide us in those, you know, for, I think, what we recognize at the Fair Housing Council of Oregon is the work that we do around education and outreach is sort of always relevant. You know, until we get to that point that we've reached every housing provider in the city, then, you know, maybe we're there, but then we probably have to circle back to the new ones. So things like that will always be there. And as Mara pointed out, I think there are some that related to people with disabilities that that we need to continue to look at and refine. So that might be one way organizationally for us to think about these. And as folks are speaking, you know, we could capture those specifically for those pieces. That would be just one of my recommendations about that. And I'm happy to kind of talk through some of the ones that are specifically I would say we'd keep for the next round.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. I think, that's very helpful. I think adding a column is a great idea. And, you know, folks can kind of, we can make time for that. We can also set that up where if people want to make notes on the table, kind of their own thoughts, and then I can collect those together into a shared document for everybody's review over, you know, the quarter that's going to pass before the next meeting, right? And that way everybody kind of has some time to think about it. And if they haven't reviewed this document yet, it gives them a chance to. So I think that would be a great thing to use moving forward in terms of a process. And I'd say, yeah, go ahead and share. We definitely have time if you want to share some of your ideas as far as what that would look like.
Like I said, I think just in that, especially in that section A around the education and outreach that's being done, I think we've got to continue to do that. And then of course the second one around, so that's number one. And then number two, the enforcement of fair housing laws. Again, I think those are things that would continue. And then same with number three, the audit testing, I think has value for us understanding what's happening in the marketplace. And then when we get to like number four, you know, the other thing we look at is maybe there are some revisions or updates to the to the actual recommendation, right? Because the fair ordinance was passed, but maybe there's some tweaking that needs to happen, or there's some updates to what's in there that might need to occur. Let's see. And then I think I'd have to take more time to look at the table to get other specifics. But same thing, I think when we go like to the section on gentrification, you know, there may be areas there that we want to update based on what's occurred over the last, you know, now, you know, several years to really address some of the current dynamics. And then as Taylor pointed out, you know, I think there are some specifics around housing choice vouchers that we've got to figure out where they fit in. And then again, also as Mara talked about, there's this movement around permanently supportive housing that's happening with the Metro bond also that we might want to capture here, you know, in a way. And, you know, this also transpired over the time that the city of Portland has had its affordable housing bond measure also. So that may be something that we look at to see, you know, has that impacted any of those recommendations over that time period also. And the one thing I also go back to on the accessibility issue, I think there was some discussion, and I don't remember where it landed in the fair ordinance, around capturing accessible units in some way. And I don't remember exactly where it landed, but it might be worth looking in there to see. I know there's some process around getting into those units, but I think there was also some talk about some kind of list of accessible units also. So that's just kind of a rambling of different pieces.
Thanks, Alan. This is Mara again. Just to clarify, the fair ordinance basically, I think, also included a part that gave a preference for mobility device users for like sort of the Section 8 program, I believe, in Portland, where they can sort of notify Home Forward, and folks from Home Forward could speak up if this is wrong, but that they are a wheelchair user, and that potentially if a wheelchair accessible unit, basically they get some preference on that list, and that has been working well. And so, you know, I could add notes like that I'm aware of, I'm sure we all could, but you know, obviously there have been some movement, but then like you pointed out, there have been new things that have popped up too. So I really like the idea of these columns.
Yeah, and sorry, and that wasn't specific to Home Forward. My understanding of the, and the Housing Bureau can step in on this, but the ADA accessible, the process for in the fair ordinance for ADA accessible units isn't limited to Home Forward, so it should also include the private market. And at Home Forward, we have separate, thanks Nikki, and then yeah, we have we do waiting lists, and we have waiting lists that are specific to units that are ADA accessible for folks who have a need for an accessible unit. So just wanted to add that. And on to your point, Mara, about preferences, I think it would be exciting if as a group we could explore what federal advocacy would look like for the ability to implement policies with explicit racial preferences to address the past and current discrimination and segregation that the Fair Housing Act was initially trying to address in kind of a colorblind way. So I just wanted to offer that as something it might be exciting to talk about as a group.
Great. Thank you, Taylor. So I guess what I'm hearing here is to kind of use this last set of recommendations and what we have as a bit of a roadmap to clarify, branch off, or as a starting point. And I can certainly do that, and we can collect those comments. I do also want to state too that, you know, before getting too far into the recommendations, right, we should also be doing some sort of analysis, right, on data that we have available and community outreach. So I think it's a good exercise to get everything together, and I'm happy to do that. But based off as well as kind of that last report, obviously you can see that there was quite a few conclusions that were drawn from various data sets and community engagement too. So just we can continue to talk about this, and this is something that needs to be sorted out as we move forward. But kind of, you know, we, in my mind, what I'm hearing is, you know, let's get all these initial ideas down, build off that 2011 table, and then we can talk about what it looks like to go into the analysis portion and the community engagement portion, and then wrap everything kind of together into final recommendations. So I just want to put that out there, one, to make sure that, you know, we do keep in mind that that there's some other work to be done. But I want to clarify that that's what I'm hearing, is to kind of use the 2011 as a roadmap and brainstorming to develop recommendations for a new report. Is that correct?
That sounds great to me.
I'm seeing some thumbs up there. Great.
Hey, Nikki, this is Alan from the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. One thing I'll say, because the other thing we might look at is in those recommendations, there might be places where updates in data would tell us kind of how the recommendation shifts a little bit, right? And so those areas, so displacement might be an example, right? My sense is that, you know, that it hasn't gotten better, but it's continued over that same time period. And so that might inform, you know, the way we, you know, that recommendation is in there, but it needs to get more attention or it needs to get stronger, kind of thing.
Certainly, certainly. And if we're using that as a roadmap, you know, I'm definitely going to go back and we're going to provide a lot more detail is going to be needed, right, about those programs or, you know, any results and outcomes that we're seeing from those, right? If that's going to be the use of this document, then, you know, I think we're definitely going to need to include that. And, you know, if that's the way that we're going to work through it, then, you know, each section will kind of get fleshed out. Okay. Well, I will call that. I mean, the rest of the meeting, we have public comment that's scheduled at 4, so I want to hold that for 4 p.m. But I think we can kind of move to that other agenda item and then call public comment when it's currently scheduled. As far as what do we want to see moving forward? And what's the overall process of how we want to move through creating this report, compiling things, analyzing, and what that workflow should look like for this committee. And Matthew, if you have any thoughts to jump in there or anyone else, please feel free to unmute yourself. This is a committee discussion, you know, for you all to guide how this work is going to get completed.
Thanks, Nikki. I think the only comment I would add to for the committee members to start discussing is it's as much about, just to reemphasize Nikki's point, some process recommendations on the process that the committee wants to go about so that we can adequately staff the committee and produce the work throughout the process. So both kind of product, but also process recommendations.
This is Mara. I was actually just wondering if you could clarify a little bit at the beginning. You had talked about federal recommendations, and I think I had asked about this before, but is that something that may heavily dictate what we're doing here? Or what is it potentially that could be coming when you talk about the waiting for notice from the feds?
Yeah, so previously, right, some sort of analysis of the impediments to fair housing has been part of the requirement that's submitted, right, to the federal government. And I think we covered in the previous meeting kind of a little bit of history of what's happened over the last administration about what, how in depth those requirements looked, right? And they were pretty severely scaled back during the past administration, in which there was not a requirement to have this full analysis. If you look at that 2011, right, how extensive, right, that analysis was comparatively. However, with the new administration, the Biden administration has been directed to evaluate the impacts those changes have had and to make any course correcting recommendations to what a fair housing analysis should look like for different jurisdictions. So at this point, we don't have a requirement to create this analysis report document. However, this committee had decided that they would like to move forward compiling an analysis and some associated recommendations, despite not having a directive to do so at this time.
Thank you so much for the clarification.
And I will just say, yeah, that is kind of part of, I think that the road is very open right now about how this could look and how in depth it goes. And that's why we are asking, you know, the committee members yourselves to kind of self-direct how we want to move through this process to create these recommendations.
This is Alan Lazo again from the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. And one of the things I'd say is, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about the Bureau and the folks that have come together here is, you know, I think there tends to be some shared agreement around the kinds of issues that we want to approach in this work. And they tend to align with where we hope the fair housing work at the federal level is going. And so, you know, I think we can kind of keep moving in that direction and really working to understand those dynamics in our community right here. And then there may be some, you know, directives that come down from the federal government along those lines. I don't think they're gonna be counter to where we wanna head. They might define some of the work that the Bureau is gonna be required to do. But, you know, I think that what we'd like to address, you know, from my sense in the conversations that we've had here, that those will align with where I think the administration is heading and where this work needs to head, particularly around addressing issues of racial segregation and access to opportunity in some of the communities that we've seen. And supply, frankly, that's the other thing I think we're gonna see come from even this administration around the supply of housing and how that impacts this work.
Yes, thank you, Alan. Trying to be very cautiously optimistic right now. But things definitely are looking much better, much, much better.
Okay. You know, based on my notes from last time, it did seem that there could be some interest in understanding some of the mechanics and to get some better understanding of the ground before moving forward, such as digging into things about the enforcement mechanisms that are currently out there and understanding what the process of fair housing enforcement looks like. Things like getting the complaint data about fair housing, potential fair housing violations, and some other kind of preliminary information. And so I wanted to check in on that, right, before, you know, whatever the plan is to move forward in this work and whether it's following up on the 2011 recommendation table or looking at other sets of data to draw conclusions from. You know, I do want everybody to feel like they have a good footing and understanding what the work is and what those basic fundamentals are. So can everybody please do speak up and let me know, is that something that you would like a presentation on for the next meeting, some further information to get yourselves oriented before starting?
If we do talk about the mechanics of enforcement, because that occurs oftentimes on like an individual discrimination basis, it would also be helpful to talk about the way the Fair Housing Act kind of requires a focus on individual discrimination, as opposed to, I know with Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing, local governments have a responsibility to do more of the structural change work, but if there could be an example around like individual discrimination versus like how AFFH would play out or Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing would play out in the context of failing to do the structural work as well, that would be helpful for me.
I think a presentation including what Taylor had just mentioned could be helpful for next time.
Hi, this is Holly. I think it would be helpful. I also don't want it to hold up sort of this process of us kind of moving forward and taking a look at the, you know, the 2011 table, but then also kind of figuring out what are the new, the how we kind of like look forward and revise that table for this committee. So I'm interested in that. I just don't want it to put a pause on kind of us moving forward and coming up with the new goals, I guess. I forgot what they're called. Sorry.
The new recommendations, right? Or final report.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Holly. Marisa, I see agreed in the chat. Could you clarify either through the chat or here, were you agreeing with the presentation would be helpful? Okay. I do see Young. Thank you. Great. So sometimes the timing is a little bit difficult for me to connect. Okay. Thank you, Marisa. Presentation would be helpful. Okay, so that's definitely something that I can look into providing and, you know, as noted, not to slow down the process too much, but to have an understanding of the basics in regards to enforcement mechanisms and to Taylor's point, individual discrimination versus things like disparate impact or more larger structural problems. Okay.
Yeah, and then, sorry, it would be so nice to also, in that presentation, to be able to discuss, like, the recommendations from the 2011 report, like, which ones are about individual discriminations versus disparate impact and mechanisms to avoid it, and so that, to me, that would just kind of help to think about, because I think oftentimes when we talk about fair housing, it's focused on the enforcement of the individual discrimination, so that would be cool.
We have a few more minutes before public comment is scheduled. I'm gonna go ahead and share the 2011 analysis of impediments to fair housing. And I'm not sure how much folks kind of dug into this, but just to kind of give us an idea of what that work product looked like as it was laid out. And I'm hoping that this will kind of spur some more conversation and discussion about, you know, how we would like to move forward and get started and what else we may want to look at beyond the 2011 recommendations themselves. So how did they get there, right? Because that's ultimately where this committee needs to get as well, right? Is to that new set of recommendations, which isn't just solely going to be based on the previous reports, recommendations, and where we think that they're at, but also evaluation of a variety of different backgrounds. And to Matthew's point, I think too, for us to know staffing and what kind of products that we need to bring to you in order to make this report meaningful. You can see the table of contents are here and just kind of a breakdown of, you know, the demographic and socioeconomic characteristics and housing characteristics and market analysis that was done. So things to look at there. Looking at the Fair Housing Act and local anti-discrimination law, the complaint data and the audit testing, and then some conclusions that were drawn. And then getting into the identification of the impediments, methods of illegal discrimination, enforcement and education, screening different terms and conditions, and then looking at the minority home ownership gap. Fair housing understanding, again, reaching into that education in fair housing, home ownership, and service provider education. where that opportunity map come from. Again, areas of reduced access to opportunity. So that mapping tool may be something to dig into there now that that tool is available. Fair housing data generally in terms of accessible housing stock, looking at City of Gresham and Multnomah County, as well as just what is unavailable or unreliable, where those holes are. The accessible affordable housing stock. Again, you can see where each of these are tying together with the recommendations. Urban renewal and tax increment financing, property tax policies, looking at poverty, rent assistance, people with disabilities, healthy homes. Looking generally at the programs and activities that are happening within the jurisdiction, and then the conclusions and recommendations. There was also citizen participation that I was not here, but from what I gathered in looking at this report, included several community hearings available at community centers where folks came and gave comments and testimony about their experiences, as well as one-on-one interviews with community members to dig in and have those anecdotal stories about people that, you know, again, just supported the conclusions that they came to here and the associated recommendations. So looking at this document, is this kind of helpful to understand a potential structure, again, of what all the different areas that we could be looking at? And does anybody have anything that jumps out to them to get started? If we follow the 2011 recommendation table, I assume we're going to start, you know, with that same section A here, discrimination housing. And, you know, I can flesh out that table and we can kind of tackle it in that same order. We can also back up. We can get the information again to look at now that we're a little more oriented on the committee to look at the demographic and socioeconomic information, as well as the market analysis. I believe Bimal did give a presentation on that, but we can certainly circle back or dive deeper. Nikki, we can look at complaint.
Sorry. Did any of these estimate like segregation by the different protected classes that we're looking at? I'm not sure if anything on this list is kind of like a dissimilarity index or if that would be feasible within the scope of the work of this committee, but to do basically an estimate of segregation by protected class in the Portland area as a guiding post, and Home Forward could provide data around voucher holders and where they live in the city.
Okay.
And county.
I don't recall seeing that. Matt, you've also reviewed this. Do you recall seeing something similar? I do not.
I don't remember if the dissimilarity index specifically is in there. But each of these data points, well, not each of them, but many of them where possible are looked at by various protected class statuses. But I think it would be useful to think about what the best way to how to bridge the analysis, and yes, include the dissimilarity index, but how to also then bridge the analysis where we're breaking out data points by various protected class statuses with what is the methodology for then assessing. What does that mean in terms of access to fair housing and fair housing choice? I will also just comment on Marisa's point. We also did do that. We did surveys and interviews and focus groups. The collective we was before my time with the Bureau, but there was that as a portion of it. So we can definitely think about how to do that based on kind of timelines for moving from Zoom back to a more in physical proximity. environment and how that timing works with the timing for what the committee is looking for plan development.
Yeah, this is Alan again. I have a couple questions along those lines, I guess. I think it's so hard because the landscape is shifting so much, but could you remind us, is there a current requirement that you, meaning the city, has to meet right now with regard to federal planning and submitting a plan? And then the second piece of that for me is, you know, one of the things that's and I've said it before, that seems to match again with what our shared, you know, I think desires are, might be for us to look at as a group the requirements that were under the assessment of fair housing and some of those pieces that addressed racial segregation, local data, some of those other pieces, and with the thinking that might be where the new administration is heading. But some of that might be informed as to whether or not, are we working to meet a current requirement? Could you remind me of that?
Sure. Thanks, Alan. So the Bureau does have our five-year consolidated plan in partnership with Multnomah County and the City of Gresham. And for those that aren't familiar, that is it's a five-year plan that really specifies how the jurisdictions intend to use their federal funding. And a part of that does contain some data analysis that would overlap with the kind of pre-Trump administration era analysis of impediments, right? In terms of looking at various communities and looking at some housing segregation and cost burden to try to then justify how the city is going to use its federal funding. So it is scaled down. And so, but we do have that requirement as a part of our consolidated plan. Okay. And then there are 1 year annual action plans for how the funding is spent. Specific to affirmatively furthering fair housing, the requirement really is very, very, very little. We have to self-certify that we are affirmatively furthering fair housing. And there's some amount of kind of narrative that goes along with how we're doing that, but it is fairly minimal.
Right, great. Yeah, thank you.
I suppose the last thing I'll add is, for those that aren't familiar, we do produce an annual State of Housing in Portland report. It is city specific, it is not county specific, although it'd be fairly linear to pull the data for the county as well. And that also includes a number of data points that would have some overlap with a kind of classical analysis of impediments or assessment of fair housing data process.
Yeah, Matt, I was gonna bring that up also. I think it is a good piece for us to, for members here to potentially look at, and especially with an eye towards the impacts on various protected classes that are illustrated in the State of Housing report, because there are some that become really apparent when we look at what's in that report itself too. And so it might help direct some of those areas. And the other thing I'd say, I think, is that's important in what you said about the requirements for the Bureau is, you know, it does put some onus on this committee then for us to drive, where we're headed as a along those lines. You know, there isn't a strong mandate from the federal government right now, but we know that our local community is very, very committed to work in this area and to ensuring that we're creating housing opportunity for all members of our community. So, that work is going to be happening right here in this committee and talking about how we put that into this report and make those recommendations.
Yes, I agree, Alan. And we'll definitely be leaning on the expertise of the members of this committee on, considering the product at the end of this is, fair housing recommendations to affirmatively further fair housing for Portland, Multnomah County area. How best do we inform those recommendations as a committee? How best are you informing those recommendations, and what do we need as well as what's in there, right? And this committee has a lot of expertise on know, hey, we should be doing this type of focus group to some of the suggestions that have been made, or this type of survey, or this type of data analysis, in addition to the, hey, we need these categories of recommendations, and then how to, and then how, what's the best way to then drive into those? So, yes.
Okay. It is 4:05, so we're just a few minutes past the scheduled time for public comment. So I'm just going to pivot us there for a minute, and we can return back and wrap up. We had one registrant, Sabrina Martinez, who indicated that they would like to provide public comment. So I will open up first to Sabrina. If you are in the meeting and you would like to provide public comment. Okay, I don't hear Sabrina and I don't see her listed for the participants. So open up to anyone else. If you would like to provide public comment, you can raise your hand and I will call on you. Okay, all right, thank you guys for that. So I think we've got kind of a need for more information based on everything there. We've got some ideas for some recommendations. We've got an ask for a presentation or at least some more information around enforcement generally. I think that that should be enough for me to get started. And maybe as we pull things in and work through that table, I think some more asks in terms of what kind of information this committee would like to look at will naturally kind of rise to the surface as we do that. So I'm going to move forward with that and we can change that plan if it's not working or if we feel like we're still missing some large pieces or have some blind spots in taking that approach. So I will send that out and we'll add kind of a third column where I'll have some kind of ability for you guys to email me back or to add that onto a shared document in terms of whether you think each recommendation is still relevant, whether you think it needs to be clarified. And I will try to add more detail into what is currently the second column about the status of that recommendation and try to get some more specific figures. And we may put that on as an agenda item for us to review at the next meeting as well. And that can just be a way for us to start putting together the pieces. And again, if that's not working, I, you know, encourage everybody to, you know, participate in the conversation and let us know. Because, you know, as has been covered a few times here, you know, the committee is going to drive this work. And so if it's not working for you all, you let us know. And my role here is to support you in how you approach. So any final comments? Otherwise, I will let us off early. It's beautiful out and it's 4:08. So I'm sure everyone's distracted. Let's be honest. It's very gorgeous outside. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks all.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.